Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Moody versus NetChoice, LLC, a case before the Supreme Court. I welcome Professor Eugene Volokh of the Volokh Conspiracy. He is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, as well as a UCLA law professor emeritus, writing about Moody versus NetChoice at the Volokh Conspiracy and questions to ponder raised by several of the justices, Justice Barrett, Justice Thomas, Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Alito. A very good evening to you, Professor. If I understand correctly these passages, this involves the justices coming up against artificial intelligence. Is this the first time they've pondered the twists and turns of AI? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I do think that they're just beginning to talk about AI, and they're not really resolving any questions here. They're just flagging these questions for future reference. So the particular question here had to do with social media platforms, First Amendment rights to include or exclude various materials from their curated feeds, like the Facebook news feed, for example, based on various criteria. And the justices observed that these are things that these algorithms are generally applied, at least potentially applied, by artificial intelligence programs. That to the extent that that's so, that raises interesting and important and as yet unresolved First Amendment questions, that even if a platform has a First Amendment right to pick and choose what to include or exclude, does it also have a First Amendment right to use artificial intelligence algorithms to make those kinds of decisions? Or are those algorithms too far removed from the decisions of the human beings who have free speech rights? So these are interesting and important questions. They have yet to be resolved, of course. But I think it's noteworthy that the justices are beginning to flag them.
You've used AI, Professor. Do you regard it as separate from you, or taking your orders, or your servant, or a tool? Is there a metaphor you use to yourself?
Well, I think it's very much a tool. And it's a tool that is still not completely ready for prime time. One of the things I've been writing about for over a year now has to do with hallucinations by AI programs, including ones that are defamatory. You ask the program some questions, and it might make some statements about a real person that turn out to be completely false. There are already two defamation lawsuits pending in American courts one against OpenAI and another against Microsoft, which also uses GPT technology like OpenAI does. So they're tools. They are imperfect tools, but they could be useful tools.
You write in conclusion an essay you wrote about freedom of speech and AI output that, as a general matter, I'm quoting, "Speech created by AI programs, like speech created by foreign governments, speech created by corporations, speech created by the long dead, is likely constitutionally protected." Likely. That's a hedge. Are the justices also hedging? Do they need more information?
Yes, I think that's what they're saying. They're not saying, well, obviously AI output is constitutionally unprotected. I don't think they're saying obviously it is protected. I think they're saying these are important questions that one day we'll have to consider, and that maybe lawyers, judges, law professors ought to be considering in lower courts now. I will say, I think in some situations, it's pretty clear that the First Amendment would protect AI output. Let's say the government were to say AI companies have to make sure that their software does not output material that criticizes the government. Of course, human beings are free to criticize the government all they want, but AI companies have to make sure, or have to try their best, to prevent that kind of viewpoint from being expressed in the output of their programs. I think the Supreme Court would pretty quickly say that kind of viewpoint-based restriction on speech, the government trying to suppress speech that's critical of it or that's critical of anybody else, a speech that expresses certain viewpoints, that just is pretty clearly unconstitutional. So I do think it seems to me pretty clear that there are some limits to the government's ability to regulate AI output. But what exactly those limits are, that I think is very much unresolved.
I come to my use of the AI, Anthropic Claude. I use it as a tool, as an argumentative spell checker. But I'm responsible for whatever response it gives me, because otherwise it would just sit there mute. I have to feed in something. It doesn't change my words. It doesn't add modifiers. It punctuates. It spell checks. And sometimes it makes style correction. That means it's the same as me, doesn't it, Professor?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the same as you, but I would agree that if you take the output of an AI program and then you publish it as a news column online, you're responsible for that. It's your job to make sure that it's accurate. But this having been said, let's say I go to some AI program and I say, tell me about John Batchelor. And then it just makes up all these things about you.
Right.
It says, yeah, he was arrested for stealing from petty cash. Well, then in that case, and let's say as a result, I decide not to hire you as a consultant, not that you're out for hire as a consultant. But if that's so, I think the AI company probably could be sued. You could probably sue the AI company for defamation, for outputting this defamatory material. So it wouldn't be my responsibility, because I just asked a question. Tell me about John Batchelor. It would be the responsibility of the company that created this program that is outputting all of this defamatory material. Again, we're going to learn more about that in the court cases dealing with AI defamation right now.
I have come up to ask AI about my publications, and it's wonderful. It makes things up, books that I've never written with criticism I can't imagine. It's quite magical.
It is. Sometimes I wish that I did write all of the things that it might attribute to me. Alas, this is not so. A lot of the hallucinations are indeed just kind of amusing this way, but some of them could be really damaging. They could be defamatory, or they could, for example, potentially tell someone that it's safe to do something that's not safe to do, safe to eat some mushroom that turns out to be poisonous. So they're is potential room for liability for AI companies outputting, potential room, I should say, outputting material that is harmful in various ways.
Do we put a human back into the loop after the AI has produced material? Would that protect everyone?
Well, it all depends on the situation. So if I take something that's the output of an AI and then I publish it, then yes, I'm very much in the loop. I'm going to be a defendant if that material is, say, defamatory. But in some situations, the human being is just reading what the AI outputs and just making a decision. For example, decision not to hire someone or not to do business with someone. And in that kind of situation, it's not the reader's legal fault. The reader is perfectly free to hire or not hire someone on whatever basis. It may very well be the AI's fault for giving people information that is inaccurate and that is harmful to a third party.
Professor Eugene Volokh, he is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He is professor of law, UCLA Emeritus. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.